Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Romans? We're going to continue in the book of Romans chapter 8. There with me, please. Romans chapter 8. I did not intend to have a message for the graduates today, but I do. It just worked out that way, but it's not just for the graduates. It's for all of us. It just so happens where the Holy Spirit has us, and I just felt like, Lord, only You can plan this, because You all know me by now. We've been at this a year and a half through the book of Romans, and we're just getting past the halfway mark. And we just go as the Holy Spirit leads. I spend as much time on a passage that I feel like the Lord wants us to, and we keep moving on. And this is where God has us this morning. And I believe it's very applicable to especially the graduates, as they are facing many unknowns, many oppositions, just many obstacles, many challenges. And I want graduates, I want you to really take this message to heart. And I want you to take it with you, however God leads you in the future. And this message goes to everyone here. I don't know what you're dealing with right now in your life, the specifics, but you know what? There's a God in heaven that does. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit just to take the message and apply it to your life, to your personal needs, your personal struggles. And I believe He will do that. And I believe God will be honored when we respond obediently as He speaks to us. Let me draw your attention to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is where we'll start off. And notice with me verse number 26. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? With the Lord's help this morning, church, I want to preach a message to you entitled, We Have an Helper. We have a helper. And His name is the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's here to help. I love that phrase when someone says, I'm here to help. Now sometimes with us humans, or we humans, I don't know the English, whichever's right, okay? But when we come to things and someone as a human says, I'm here to help, sometimes that can be a hindrance. Sometimes we can get in the way trying to be a help. I know that's true with me. Sometimes I get in the way trying to be a help. All right, I'm just going to give some marriage counseling. I got to say this real quick, all right? Sometimes, men, your wife does not want your help. She just wants you to listen. Just to listen. No, you don't have to say a thing. All you have to do is sit there and look and say, mm-hmm. Mm. Uh-huh. Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then close it off with, I'm going to pray with you, honey, about that. But men, sometimes we want to offer solutions right away. Well, let me tell you how to fix that. This is what you need to do. Men, don't do that. I thought I'd have some more amens right here on this. I don't know. I just got quiet. Amen. That was just a little sidetrack, folks. Yes, of course, man, we want to be a help and we can. But I just say that to say all this, though. Listen, the Holy Spirit is there to help, and we ought to always let Him help. Because that's His ministry. That's His place and God's economy and the triune God, because He is indeed God. The Holy Spirit is God. And His ministry is to be a help to the children of God. What a blessing. But here's the thing. You've heard the old saying, haven't you? I've heard it. You can't help those that don't want help. There's a lot of truth to that. And so my prayer this morning is that God's people, including this preacher that you see this morning, will all come to God and say, God, I want Your help. Would you pray with me? Lord, we want Your help. I want Your help, Lord. And I'm thankful that You are there to give it. That You don't withhold it. And I pray this morning, Lord, that help would be administered all across this sanctuary as Your people humble their hearts before You and say, Lord, You know I'm struggling in this area. And Lord, I pray You would just help. Thank You that You answer that with an affirmative every single day. Time. Lord, You're awesome. We commit the service to You, and we're thankful for the victory that we have in Jesus. For it's in His name I do pray. Amen. You folks remember, probably, that we're here as members. Back in 2020, it was a very interesting year for all of us, of course, in light of COVID and all of that. And is Wendy here today? Yep, there's Ms. Wendy. Ms. Wendy, she, you're in this illustration, sister, okay? It's a good one, all right? But anyway, it was that 2020 and everything shut down. And there were many things we liked about that. I know the world was so paranoid and it was just crazy. But hey, let's admit, there were some really good things that came out of that time. I mean, I'm just grateful for the extra family time it gave us. And just spending time together, hanging out and whatnot. There were some good things that came out of that. You know, it was interesting going to the stores, of course, and I know over in California, you guys are, still working on that, and just working through some of those things, a little bit more stricter guidelines that you might have there than we have here in Georgia. But nevertheless, there were some things we didn't like, some things we liked. But one of the things I also liked is that it gave us time to do some more yard work. And just to get out in the yard and, you know, because they didn't want you traveling because you could have got COVID on the highway. They just wanted you to stay at home, you know. And so anyway, it was just life slowed down. It came to a screeching halt in many ways. And that's when I started doing some yard work back in the woods. And to make a long story short, one day I was out there pulling on a vine and shouldn't have been doing that. But it snapped. And my brace to go back to catch myself, my foot went into about a 3-foot hole, and my ankle also snapped. and I broke my ankle that day doing some yard work, and man, I felt it and heard it, and I just knew what had happened. Something bad had happened to that ankle of mine. And so I'm sitting there on the ground, and you all know I have a very intelligent yellow Labrador retriever. Her name is Gracie. And let me tell you what she did. When I broke that ankle and fell to the ground, you know what she did? She wagged her tail at me and had the audacity to bring me her ball as if I was going to throw it. No lassie there, I'm sorry. But anyway, she was there, but you know, as I was sitting there on the ground, of course the chainsaw was running and had to get that off because I'd been just cutting on something. I just paused for a moment to get this vine down. But anyway, at that time I'm yelling for somebody to come help. And there in the woods, nobody to be seen. And so I had to wait there for a little while, Joanne. I don't know how long it was, but had to wait basically until somebody realized I was missing. So 10 hours later, no, I'm just kidding. but it was at that time where just it seemed like a long time, but finally I think the kids came out or Joanna came out and I said, "Hey, I need your help. Somebody come help." And so they knew something was wrong and they came over there. "What's going on?" "Well, I've injured my ankle. I think it's broke. I think it's something serious. I couldn't walk. I didn't try to get up." And of course, didn't want to try to get Joanna to, you know, to get me up or whatnot. I just said, "Well, listen, let me just call the neighbor." And that's what I did. Sitting there on the ground with a broke ankle, I called my neighbor. And I appreciate my neighbor. And what she did, she got me the number to the other neighbor because I didn't have his number. And so I got his number. And sure enough, he was home and he ran over to the house. I was so thankful for his assistance and just a real encouragement. It's good to have good neighbors. Amen. What a blessing. But so my neighbor came over and he rushed over. His wife came too. They had very concerned looks because the other neighbor had texted him saying, "Listen, Brinson's on the ground. He can't get up. He's been injured." And so they came running over and Jamie came alongside me and he embraced me. He's a pretty strong fella. And he helped me get up and helped me put my arm around him. And he locked underneath my arm. And so we tried to walk a little bit, couldn't put any pressure on it, of course. And so he helped me. I'm so thankful for his help. I was injured. I couldn't help myself. And then, thank the Lord, I had my sweet wife there, and she was able to help me with all of them get me into the van. She pulled the van around and backed up to the backyard where I was, and I got in the van, and with their help and assistance, got in safely, all right? So then, with the help of my wife, she drove me to the doctor's office where Wendy works, and she was so gracious to give me assistance there and got the boot off. We had to cut it off and all that stuff, and she wrapped it up. And then the doctor that she works with and works for, he was able to come. And I think he was just out to eat, wasn't he, Wendy? He was just out in his leisure time. And thank the Lord for his kindness and generosity. He came, he was just over in Athens somewhere, he came over to his office and put a cast on my foot, and I would go back, I think, that the next day and get all the x-rays and everything, because this is probably 6 o'clock in the evening, and they helped me, and of course, they gave me some crutches, and those crutches were a help to me. And all of these things were helping me because I had an injury, and things that I could not do, those things were helping me do. And I want to say all that to say this as an illustration. Folks, the Holy Spirit of God has been given to us to help us where we can't help ourselves. He's there. Some people may be critical and say, "Oh yeah, God's just a crutch to you Christians." Well, I want to say to that comment, oh yes, He is a crutch, but so much more. He's the Savior of my body. He just doesn't hold me up, ladies and gentlemen. He holds me together. By Him all things consist. Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Spirit, the great three in one. And I want to tell you, those things were a help to me. And I want to tell you today, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been given the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in you. He is a person. He is not a thing, an it, or a force. He is a person. And He has taken residence in your body, the Bible says. And He is there to be a comforter. You know, when Jesus was leaving, if you go back to the Gospel of John, chapters 14, 15, and 16, He speaks very specifically of the Holy Spirit's ministry. And the Holy Spirit's ministry is to point people to Jesus. And to make people like Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Well, in that, the disciples were scared to death. Because Jesus was talking about leaving them. What do you mean? Where are you going? What is going on? They still weren't getting it. It wasn't soaking in. And what Jesus says, well, listen. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. That's what the word means when He says. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. You know what He said? He made a promise. He says, I am leaving you with the Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to leave Him with you, and He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. He's faithful to always point you towards Me. He will teach you to and He will live out My life through you. He's going to help you and comfort you. And certainly He's going to correct you when it needs to be, when you need to be corrected. And Lord knows that is needed every single day in my life. I need to be corrected. And He does it so gently. He does it so graciously. He does it perfectly. He knows how to do that. I want to learn. Dads, pray for me. I pray for you. Moms, I pray for you. You pray for us. But I want to learn how to discipline my children the way God disciplines us. Oh my. He does it so graciously and gently, but He does it. He does it in a perfect way. In a way that's effective. But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit is there to offer and to give me the help I need. And notice what the Bible says here. And that's just what I want to preach on with the remaining time that I have. Is that one phrase in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. Now, He says likewise here because you remember our context. The context is the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, in our church, in our homes. Because He talks about in chapter 8, He is the subject of the main emphasis of our Christian growth. You remember chapters 1 through 5 talk about the price of redemption. Okay? The price of redemption is the blood of Jesus. The cross of Calvary. We are justified. We have peace with God because of the blood of Christ being shed on the cross. But then chapter 6 through 8 talks about the power of our redemption. The power that comes by our redemption. And that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, as we see here in Romans chapter 8. He's our helper. He's there to help you. You see, God knows we're weak. You know, I didn't have to spend much time thinking about how weak I was. I think Joanna said I looked like a ghost when she showed up. My face was just as pale as this piece of paper right here. I was white. Something bad had happened. And it was obvious I needed help. You know, God knows that we're weak, ladies and gentlemen. He knows we're frail. He knows we're feeble. Psalm 103 verses 13 and 14 say this, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Listen to what it says. For He knoweth our frame. He knoweth that we are what? But dust. God Almighty, our Creator, He knows how weak Brinson Jennings really is. And it's just not that He knows how weak I am, but then He takes pity upon me. He has compassion on me. And we're going to see here how the Spirit of God sympathizes with us in our infirmities, in our weaknesses. He feels that with us. He cares about the fact that you're struggling with whatever you're struggling with. He's aware of it, and He's wanting to come alongside to be a help to you and me. Psalm 73 verse 26 says this, "My flesh," the psalmist said, a man after God's own heart, he says, "My flesh and my heart faileth." And he goes on to say, "But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Psalm 73 verse 26. We're weak people. Do you see yourself as a weak individual? I hope you do. Listen, this is not to demoralize anybody or to discourage anybody, because the Bible says at the same time that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But folks, I'm going to just be very transparent with you of what the Bible says. But because of sin and the curse of sin, we are very weak people. And we fail very easily. And we struggle with sin. Don't we, church? Yes, we do. I'm thankful. My God knows that. And He's made a way. He's made a way for me to be saved from sin, from the penalty of sin. But He's also made a way for me to be saved from the power of sin. And that is coming through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that lives in you and me if you've been saved. Now, if you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, you know about Christianity, you've heard about it, maybe you've even made a profession of faith. I don't know. But listen, if you don't have salvation, you don't have any help. You're on your own. You're trying to do life alone, and that's miserable. You don't have to do that. You can come to Christ and be saved today. You can believe on the gospel and be saved even before I finish this message. You only have to wait to the end. Right now in your heart, you could cast your faith upon Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again the third day. That's the gospel. And it's for anybody at any time. You can do that. But those of us that have made that decision, we have help. We can rejoice in that. Now, some may say, well, listen, you can take two extremes to that. You got two sides to that where you can get into trouble. You could say, well, yeah, that's just the way I am. I'm just a sinner. That's just one of my weaknesses, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, listen, that's one side of it. Okay. That's one who would basically say that's just the way I am. But then you would have the other side of the rut that would basically say, well, look, it's just too hard. I try and 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 try. And it just fails. Can't do it. It's impossible. But what God says, that He wants us to understand that we have a part in this thing called sanctification. And we've discussed that. I've told you that. What is sanctification? It's a word for Christian growth. It's a word for Christian maturity. Something all of us are doing. There's no such thing as a mature Christian, only maturing Christians. Okay? Mature kind of implies that this person has arrived. Ain't nobody arrived. We all fall short. But the fact of the matter is, God knew how weak we were going to be, and He says, I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit of God, who's going to quicken you to seek that higher and holier and nobler life. And there's going to be much against us every day. Graduates, you're stepping out into the world. You've already started getting a taste of it, even in the upper years of high school. But you're going to step out there, and you're not going to have mom and dad sheltering over you. And there's going to be some serious responsibility. And you're going to be faced with some things that you never thought you'd be faced with. There will be temptation that surrounds you to go to drunken parties and revelings, and there will be so much temptation for you to get into the drug scene and for you to just reject God. You're going to be sitting under some professors if you're going to a secular college, and they're going to try to cast doubt in your mind and heart upon who God is and the faithfulness and trustworthiness of God. But let me remind you, young people, you, if you're saved and blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are taking with you the Holy Spirit. He is your professor. He's the one you listen to. He's the one you take heed to. He will go with you in that classroom. He will help you stand up to that professor in a loving way. He will help you stand up to those friends that laugh and mock you because you won't take a drink and you won't take a toke because you won't take a pill. Let me tell you something. God Almighty will fill you and you'll be a shining light. I thank God for the testimony of young college people that go on and live for Christ even among humanistic culture that reject God and the Bible. The Holy Spirit is able to hold you up, friend. You don't have to be intimidated. I don't have to be intimidated. You folks here that are concerned about whether you can live out the Christian life in such a perverse and wicked world, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit will give you the power. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, where we cower at the world and we run and duck and retreat. No, ladies and gentlemen, God Almighty has given us His Spirit to where we go into the world with power and love and a sound mind. Self-control. We make an impact. We go and we're salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Jesus didn't say, don't go hide. Get on the hill and shine. Be different. Be distinct. The Bible calls us peculiar people. Now how? That doesn't give an excuse for us to go and be a bunch of weirdos. That's not what the Bible's teaching. But the Bible is teaching that we ought to be distinct. Different. Set apart. Okay? That's what sanctified means. I'm continually being set apart. And the Holy Spirit is there to help me and help you. And there's no excuse that we have. Because if the Bible says later on in that passage, if God, the Holy Spirit, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Claim that, church. Let's claim it and stand upon it. It'll guide us through those times where we feel like perhaps we've been forsaken or we just can't stand up to the weaknesses that it's in our life, because it's not just, hey, it's not just the world that opposes us, and it's not just Satan, and they do, Satan does. But I want to tell you something, one of my greatest enemies is me. My own stinking flesh, that old nature wants to control things. Remember, we've studied, he tries to be the boss, but he's been fired, he's been dethroned. He's no longer there. The Holy Spirit is in me. Jesus is my King. Jesus is the throne. And the Holy Spirit lives out in my life every day to make sure that's a reality. That's His ministry. Jesus is King. Jesus is King of my life, of your life. And sometimes we feel like we're alone, like the disciples. Like, I can't do it. I can't hold up under this pressure. Listen, I want to tell you, that's a good place to be, but it's not a good place to stop. You get there and then you say, I know I can't, but the Holy Spirit can. He can do this. As I yield myself, look at that word there, helpeth. It carries the idea there in verse 6, likewise the Spirit also helpeth. It's that one that comes alongside. The one that comes alongside. Wes, Brother Wes. I know you wouldn't mind me doing this. Brother Wes is going to help me with an illustration. Come around here, Brother Wes. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Like, what's this preacher getting into? All right, we're going to connect here. Amen. Let's just walk down through here, Brother Wes. Brother Wes is playing the part of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This word helpeth carries the idea of connection. The Holy Spirit has come alongside us. And He is to help us in every step of our lives. Now, we're going to pretend this right here is a mountain. Okay, you get on up there, Brother Wes, the Holy Spirit. Coming alongside, there are some times where I can't make it. I can't make it. There's some serious mountains in my life. I just can't do it. I don't have the power. This word here in the text that says that helpeth us with our infirmities, that word helpeth means comes alongside at just the right moment. And He's going to help me up this mountain. And we're going to continue to walk this life that God has given us. And He's going to make me more and more like Jesus. But the fact of the matter is, I have to stay connected and yielded to Him all the time. Thank you, Brother Wes. Y'all give him a hand. He did a good job. My point is, the Holy Spirit has promised. This is not just a one-time thing like, okay, I'll help you if it gets really bad. He's always there. But this is what I believe. And if you get anything from this message, please get this. Please get this. What this truth teaches is that the Holy Spirit will not do what we can do and what we ought to do. You say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I'll say it like this. There is God's part that man cannot do. The impossible, the miraculous, that's God's part. He's the one that's going to make me look like Jesus. He's the one that's changing my heart and my mind. He's the one changing my life and my children, my family, this church. It's God that's doing the changing. But what it does teach also, ladies and gentlemen, is that there is man's part that God will not do. And that's where we are without excuse, ladies and gentlemen. We can't say, Holy Spirit, you weren't there to help. You know that addiction you have? Whether it's tobacco, alcohol, pornography, perhaps it's an addiction to anger, perhaps it's an addiction to food, perhaps it's an addiction to jealousy and envy. I don't know what your hang up is. I don't know what your stronghold is. I don't know what your ungodly habit is. But the Holy Spirit is saying He can give you the victory. But what's got to happen is you got to make the first step. You got to be the one that says, Lord, I want to choose your way. You have to make a choice of your will. You put that step forward. You put that effort forward. And God will match it with His power. It's a decision that we got to make. I just can't overcome that. That's just me. That's just who I am. Or, oh, it's just too hard. It's too hard. Can't do it. It's impossibility. That's an insult to the Holy Spirit of God. He has been called out. He has been given to us, the children of God, to help us. And now I'm going to close with this. I encourage every one of you to do this. And yes, it's humbling, and it's not really a fun activity. I want to hear to tell you, because I did it. Because I wasn't going to get up here and ask you to do it and me not do it. But this is what I encourage everybody here to do. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're in your retirement age life or you're still in elementary school. Listen, this is something every one of us ought to do at some point. In the next few days, you ought to make a list of your weaknesses. And it can get rather long. But I would just say, for practical purposes, name your top 10. And I went down and named my top 10. And they're very real. And I'm not here to share them with you. I'm not here to dirty out laundry. Neither do I expect you to share yours with me. But I'm telling you, it's very real. And what the Bible says, infirmities, do you know what that word means, to be infirmed? It means to be weak. It means to be sick. It means to be hindered or handicapped. There's an area in our life, and sometimes it's because of a circumstance in our life. Sometimes, get this, sometimes I might get criticized for this one, but sometimes it's because maybe our genealogy. Maybe it's because of we have a parent or grandparent or somebody that has been especially susceptible to this type of spirit or this type of stronghold or habit and whatever it may be. And it just kind of has carried on down the family line. And we're just thinking, you know, that's because of that. Regardless, own it. own it. In fact, it'd be good. There's something called I can't think of the name of it right now. It just slipped my mind. Where you can actually go back and research your family history and where their weaknesses were. Genogram or something. Am I saying that right? No, I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's the idea where you actually identify some weaknesses of your family history. Sin in your family tree. And identify it. And it's not that we wave it high, and it's not that we condemn family members. No. It's just like, hey, I'm probably going to be susceptible to that sin. It's likely that I'm going to struggle with dad struggle with. It's like one fellow said I heard recently. He said, you might have Jesus in your heart, but you still got grandpa in your bones. And so we got to take note of that and say, that's my weakness, and I'm not going to make excuse because I know the Holy Spirit of God can give me victory. He can help me overcome and make me more like Jesus. Because that's what we're going to see in the coming verses. He wants to help us. Listen, there's God's part that we cannot do. But there's man's part that God will not do. How'd you get to church this morning? Some of you got up on that alarm clock. Some of you got up because somebody started yelling at you. Get out of bed! We got to go to church! There are various reasons why we're here. I don't know, some of you that drove here this morning, what did you do? You went out. You made the effort. You got in your car. You got in your car, you got in there, and you turned the key. You turned the engine on. You made the effort to steer down the road, pull in this parking lot. I don't know what side you're on, but you pulled in here. That car got you here. That car enabled, helped you and empowered you to get here. And that's a lot of like the spiritual life. You were able to do that. Now, you could have gotten here on your own by just walking or whatever, but that car gave you a much powerful way, if you will, an efficient way to get here. And the Holy Spirit does that in our life. Now, you can go through life trying to do it on your own, even as a Christian, but that is miserable. That is miserable. Hey, somebody told me I'd rather be around a lost person that doesn't know Jesus than be around a Christian who thinks they can do the Christian life on their own. Because the person as a Christian that thinks they can live life on their own are usually miserable. And they're frustrated. And they're bitter and discouraged. And they're not yielding to the Holy Spirit. And there's liberty there because where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Holy Spirit, there is freedom. And yes, it's a battle. Yes, it makes me get my lazy tail out of the bed in the morning. Yes, it requires me to make a choice and make the decisions I need to make. But then the Holy Spirit matches it with His power and says, I'm going to help you. And when you get to that point where you think you can't overcome and say, I can't do this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. That's another verse that's basically saying you get to that point where you can't go any further. The Holy Spirit who's already in you and connected to you will take you to the next level. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have an excuse. Yes, we're weak. And I told the Sunday school class three things about every one of us in this room. There is nobody exempt. Except maybe the last one, and I hope it's true for all of us, but we are all three things. Write these down in your heart on your notepad. Listen to this. I heard this, and I agree with it 100%. We are all broken. We are all forgiven if we are in Christ. And we are all growing if we're yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. B-F-G. Broken, forgiven, and growing. That's us, ladies and gentlemen. But let's be yielded to the Holy Spirit because He's the one that's going to allow us to get where we need to be in Christ. There's a song that I'd love for Brother Mike to teach us at some point. Usually, I encourage y'all to come back on Sunday nights, because a lot of times on Sunday nights we learn new songs, and it's a blessing. So if you don't come, maybe come tonight. But nevertheless, there's a song I'm wanting to learn called Never Alone. And the words go like this. Jesus promised us never to leave us alone. The songwriter said, I've seen the lightning flashing and I heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing which tried to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior. He bid me still fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. Jesus has promised never to leave us alone. He went on to say, when in affliction's valley, are you there this morning? I tread the road of care. My Savior helps me carry my cross so heavy to bear. Though all around me is darkness and earthly joys are flown, my Savior whispers His promise never to leave me alone. Do you know how I know? And you should know that Jesus has not left us alone. It's because He promised us that the Holy Spirit of God would always be there to help us. Come alongside us, as Brother Wes was, to help us, especially in that time we can't go any further. I can't give it up, Lord. I can't do this, Lord. Holy Spirit, oh yes, come. I'll help you. I'll help you. We started homeschooling this year, and something I've gotten used to hearing as I walk into the house is, Mom! Help! I need help! I'm trying to train. Look, I was going to tell them to raise your hand, but it's hard to do that when you're in another room and she can't see you. But just wait. Could you go downstairs? You've got different kids and whatnot. But they're asking for help. And I don't hold that against them. I think it's good to ask for help. But here's the problem. Sometimes when they ask for help, they could do it themselves. Maybe they were just tired that day. Maybe they're just feeling a little defiant that day. Or better, I don't want to do this. So, Mom, I just want you to bother you. You come here and show me how to do it. I don't feel like doing this. It's frustrating. It takes a lot of work. And then sometimes, genuinely, it is problems they don't understand. And that's good. I'm glad they asked those questions. And I got to thinking about that. You know what? Brinson Jennings is no different. Many times I'll cry out to God, God, help! I don't mean it. I'm just tired. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like this Christian life. I don't feel like that discipline saying no or saying yes where I need to say yes. And when God sees that, listen, we're not willing to help ourselves and willing to put forth the effort, the choice of our will. But there are times that we come to God and say, God, I can't do this. Perhaps you're in a marriage and you're thinking, God, we're struggling. When you come with a genuine heart and you just don't know what to do, that's where the sweet ministry of the Holy Spirit will grasp you and embrace you and hug you and love you and guide you and teach you and empower you to go to the next level for Jesus Christ. Let's let Him do it, shall we? Would you pray with me?